Welcome to the Equipping the Saints podcast. We're glad you're joining us today. Here is this week's teaching.
All right, good morning, New Start. How's everybody doing today? So, I really wanted to come to you this morning and give a message of hope and persecution. You might say, well, how can those two go together? Like when we're talking about having hope and then being persecuted, how can you really mix those two? And how does that work? How do you mend those two together? Well, it's real simple. In places in this world, there's people being persecuted because of their faith. Sent to die for what they believe. Killing Christians. Holding them hostage and making them suffer. And you're probably wondering, why are we talking about this today when normally we're diving in deep into God's Word? And we are. We're going to. This is something that's kind of weighed heavy on me for quite some time. That there's Christians being killed, being held hostage, made to suffer. Families torn apart. Parents losing their children. Children losing their parents. Loved ones slaughtered and sacrificed. All because they have a Bible in hand. In other countries, you probably know this, and if you don't, it's shocking. Because in other countries, being a Christian is not common. Being a Christian is not something that commonly happens. And when it does, you get persecuted for being a Christian. Right now, Christians are going through some of these terrible emotions in these countries. Hear me out. Here's some emotions that they're dealing with, that other Christians are dealing with in other countries. The fear of death. The fear of being slaughtered for their beliefs, for having faith in Christ. They're scared. They're scared of death. They're scared to lose their life out of this world. They have confusion. Confusion on why. Why is this happening? They're confused because here in the United States, we're able to show that we're a Christian. We're able to meet collectively as Christians to hear the Bible. So when they're presented with something like that in other countries, they're like, why is this happening? They're confused. They're truly confused. And they don't understand why. They don't know why they're suffering for the Bible. Why they're suffering for Jesus. We read these emotions in Revelations and it tells us not to fear persecution and suffering. God's Word says in Revelations 2, verse 10, do not fear what you are about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison that you may be tested, and for 10 days you will have tribulation. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. The one who conquers will not be hurt by the second death. We thank God for the hearing and the reading of His Word. The world needs the church to pray. More times than any right now that's going on overseas, the world needs the church to pray. The church should be coming together in prayer for these people. For these actions on Christians like us that are overseas proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. They are being torn apart. They're being persecuted for their beliefs, for their faith. We need more times than any right now to pray for these people. to truly pray for what is going on. But remember, when we pray, prayer is important. Prayer is more important than anything else needed inside the church. As Christians, we should be praying together as churches, and we should be praying for the actions that are coming apart, that are happening right now. We should pray for these actions. Pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ that are in shelters. They're in shelters not knowing where they're going to go next. They're in shelters truly shocked and confused by what's going on. We should be praying for these brothers and sisters of Christ that are stuck in these shelters with no food and water, surviving on their faith. We should pray for them as they are fearful. Pray for them to have guidance and courage. Guidance and courage to get past what's going on. Pray for them to be strong. We should pray for strength, for them to truly be strong of what's going on. There's brothers and sisters, like I said, of us, of Christ, who are being hurt right now. And if that don't bring a tear to your eye, if that don't pull at your heartstrings, then you truly aren't connected with the gospel and connected with Jesus Christ, who tells us to be fearful for our brothers and sisters and to pray for them. Pray for their children as they are seeing their parents be killed for their faith. We should pray for these little ones who are losing parents because of their faith as they get through this time. We should pray for fellowship between believers, that believers can get connected in these countries and that they can have fellowship and true fellowship to discuss God's Word, to truly talk about what's going on and talk about their faith and how they can help each other. They are to have fellowship with each other, to meet in separate quarters and shelters, to do church. Because they're not allowed to do church. They aren't allowed to meet on Sunday mornings. They aren't allowed to gather and discuss the Bible. They have to do it secretly. They have to do it when nobody knows about it. We ought to pray for fellowship between these believers and pray that they can grow together, that they can survive together. We are to pray for God's protection when He may seem fit. Pray for that blanket of protection over our people. The people being persecuted. People losing their lives. The families being torn apart. As a church, we should pray for these people. And wherever God sees fit of protecting them, He will do so. We also pray for the unsaved. We pray for the ones persecuting. We pray for the ones killing our people, that they understand who God is. They understand God's love, His mercy, and His grace. We pray for these people. We understand the acts that they're doing on our brothers and sisters, but we are to pray for them. We ask for God to show His mercy and His grace and His judgment when needed. See, the Christian church in Afghanistan are or they're scared for of persecution. The people are scared of persecution, that they don't want to die, and they don't want to die and be torn apart and to suffer for their beliefs. But it was called to happen. And the reason why it happens is because 99.8% of Afghans, they're Muslims. They're Muslims. They're made of the Muslim descent. That's what they believe in. We have seen this many times throughout the Bible, haven't we? Like when we see what's going on, we see this many times throughout the Bible of being persecuted for their faith, of being torn apart for what they believe in, for believing the gospel. People are being persecuted. It happens here. It happens here in America. When you run into people that don't believe in God, they don't understand who He is, and you get persecuted. Your own family will persecute you for your beliefs. Can you imagine what's happening to our brothers and sisters in a different country that completely don't agree with what you're talking about? They're being sent to a battlefield for their faith. Battlefield for their thoughts. I read a story about somebody coming off of a bus in Afghanistan. As soon as they came off, there's members of the Taliban there ready to meet them. I guess they could obviously tell that they were Americans and that they were from another country, obviously. They said to pull out your cell phone. So the man did. They went through his cell phone, seen the Bible app, and executed them. Executed him for having the Bible app on his cell phone. Can you imagine that here? As soon as you walk off the bus being executed because you have the Bible application on your cell phone. If that don't give you pain, I don't know what will. There's other Christians from America that are being slaughtered, that are being killed just for having an application of God's Word on it. Slaughtered. A man loses his family. A wife loses her husband. Kids lose their dad because of their faith. Well, I'll tell you one thing. I'll tell you this. Persecutions on Christians may be here, and it's relevant, and it's happening. But a Christian will live in paradise in heaven for professing his faith, for proclaiming that Jesus Christ is the Lord and Savior of my life. And he will live in paradise. The Christians will live in paradise, and God's Word states this, for professing His faith, for taking a stance. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 10 through 13 says this, "You, however, have followed my teaching, my conduct, my aim in life, my faith, my patience, my love, my steadfastness, my persecutions, and sufferings that happened to me at Antioch and at Iconium and Lystra, which persecutions I endured, yet from them all the Lord rescued me indeed. All who desire to live in a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. while evil people and imposters will go on from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. Same persecution is going to happen. It's bound to happen for your beliefs, for your faith. And you know, the more I see violence, the more that you see violence, right? The more you see it, honestly, I'm not surprised. Not surprised to see it against a Christian. I'm surprised we can freely have church here where we are. And the more that time goes on, persecution is going to be a common thing for Christians. It's a common thing on God's people. Being persecuted for your faith. It's only a matter of time. You may say, well, we can meet on Sundays now, and in other countries you can't. Yeah, that's for now. But for having faith in Jesus and to understand God's word, we know that we're going to be persecuted because of our faith. We're going to be persecuted because of the gospel. But we got to understand that we're God's people. And if persecution were to happen, we know where paradise is. We know where heaven is. And that's more glorious than anything on this earth and in this world. See, groups like the Taliban want to take over. You know, they enjoy violence. They enjoy chaos. They enjoy just killing, and they enjoy taking things over. They enjoy doing that. They want to take over. And as soon as we allowed them, they did. We are to stand firm on our faith. No matter what the outcome is, stand firm on our faith. And you should say, well, the people are scared. Well, I can tell you that there's no need to be scared. The church that is stable on Jesus Christ, we are not to be worried or nervous of an outcome, but to stand firm no matter what the outcome is. No matter what the outcome may be, because it's for God's glory and we give Him the praise in the end. We should be willing to die for the gospel. The gospel should be something that we are willing to lay our own lives down, of our own and of our families, because the gospel is more important. You should lay your own kid's life down for the gospel. You should lay your own selfish life on the line for the gospel. Revelation 12, verse 11 says, "And they have conquered Him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, for they loved not their lives, even unto death." We should not love our life more than Jesus. We should not love our life more than the gospel. Jesus was rejected by members of His own family for who He was. Endured the shame of the hometown community, which gossiped about Him and said that He was illegitimate, that He was a heretic. He was hated by religious leaders, betrayed by friends, accused, beaten, and tortured to death. Are you willing to be tortured to death for your faith? Are you willing to put the gospel above your own life? There are people in other countries that are putting the gospel above their own lives, that are willing to take that chance for their faith. And as a church, we are to be in prayer for these people. Be in prayer for these groups, for these people in Afghanistan that have taken a stance on the gospel more than we have done in America. We are to take that same stance in our communities. We are to take that same stance of gospel. The church in America is dead. And the reason why the church of America is dead, because they won't take the stand of the gospel. We sit there and go through the regular routine of Sunday service and Wednesday night youth service. But we're not taking a stance on the gospel. There's people in other countries that are taking the stance on the gospel, that are really willing to die for their faith. I read a story about another man who his son said, "Daddy, you know they're killing people there." And the father said, "I understand that, son. They're killing people here, but my destination is heaven. Yours should be too." 10-year-old son. He told his 10-year-old son that your destination should be heaven, to take a stance on your faith, no matter what. That kind of faith is more faith than I've seen in all the churches in this community. Imagine that. He's willing to lay his life down for the gospel. Told his son to remain, to lay his life down for the gospel when he gets old enough. Lay it down now. And we know that there's missionaries over in these countries that are laying their lives down. In shelters trying to avoid and have some hope to stay alive. We know this isn't easy. We know that it's the biggest mission to disciple others inside the midst of danger. We need to have hope. We must have hope during this time. And the Christian church and the community church needs to stay strong on faith. Stay strong and firm on their proclaim of the gospel. Acts 21, verses 27 through 29 says this: "When the 7 days were almost completed, the Jews from Asia, seeing him in the temple, stirred up the whole crowd and laid hands on him, crying out, 'Men of Israel, help! This is the man who is teaching everyone, everywhere against the people and the law of this place. Moreover, he even brought Greeks into the temple and has defiled this holy place. For they had previously seen Trophimus, an Ephesian, with him in the city, and they supposed that Paul had brought him into the temple.'" Persecution happens more than we see, even here in America. It's an everyday occurrence. The disciples of Jesus even died for their faith, beheaded for their faith, hung upside down on a cross for their faith. They were sacrificed and shown for everybody in the community to see. They were made a spectacle for their faith. We are to remain strong during this time, to not stop spreading the gospel, to not be afraid to continue. Bring people inside homes and study the Word. Understand God's Word. We are to continue to hold church. Continue to gather and hold church. Whether it's an online platform or it's in person, we are to continue to hold church. The Bible is the Word, and we are the messengers who are supposed to take it all throughout the lands and spread His Word. And if we know this truth ahead of time, it will prepare us for any suffering that we may face. If we understand God's Word, it will prepare us for any suffering or persecution that we are to face and help us rely. We rely. We're not even worthy of it, but we rely on God's grace and the power of His Holy Spirit to help us persevere. And we rely on Him even though we're not worthy of it, of His grace and of His glorious mercy laid upon His people. Let us pray. Father, we come to You today understanding what's going on overseas. We understand how it's affecting the church. We know that You have a plan and that You have it all figured out, and we're just asking You to guide us no matter the outcome. We understand in the Scripture what it tells us. We read it and we study it, and we know that the day is coming. We know that You're glorious and that You stay steadfast in everything that You state and that You say through the Spirit. I ask that You guide us, that You protect these families being persecuted for their faith in You, for understanding who You are. Father, we know that You are sovereign over all things and that You will do what You feel You should be glorified to do. We're thankful for Your grace and for Your mercy. Just give us hope and strength. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you would, stand up with us and let's continue to worship.
Thank you for listening today. Subscribe to our podcast and listen to the weekly teaching.